In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's Friday, the 11th day of May. Good as always to have you along, everybody. So very much to talk about, so little time. Trade, the swamp, and the draining thereof. Some labor market news as well. So we are going to dig right in. Don Lee is with the Los Angeles Times. Catherine Rappel is at the Washington Post. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Catherine, let me start with you. And in the news of Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it was, I was traveling. I was a little bit out of the news. But AT&T and Novartis having paid President Trump's then personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, a very large amount of money, each of them, to act as, in essence, a political consultant. And I want to ask specifically about the memo that came out of Randall Stephenson, the CEO of AT&T today, in which he said, and this is a quote, AT&T hiring Michael Cohen as a political consultant was a big mistake. Now, with the stipulation that this kind of thing or a version of it happens a lot in Washington, do we think AT&T believes it was a mistake, or do they think it was a mistake because they got caught?
Probably both. In that AT&T was clearly hiring him because they thought he had some sort of access. You know, Michael Cohen, for those who are listening, does not have any experience with telecom, with antitrust issues, any of that. But they were hiring him because they wanted some kind of access, at least they say, to the thinking, you know, to the insights of what this administration would be like. But remember, AT&T was facing a review of its proposed, at the time, proposed merger with Time Warner. Clearly, they wanted Cohen to provide something. And if Cohen, in fact, provided anything, it was not worth very much, right? The DOJ ultimately decided to challenge this merger. So they didn't get their money's worth if they were expecting it. And it's highly embarrassing for them because, you know, this is now public that they were trying to buy this access.
Don, the memo from Randall Stephenson at AT&T goes on, to be clear, everything we did was done according to the law and entirely legitimate. End of that quote. It is kind of interesting what's legal and what's not, right?
It is. And I think there's a legal issue. And of course, there's an ethical issue. And I think people are asking, well, you know, Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliano, said that the president did not have any awareness of these consulting arrangements. But shouldn't you know, Michael Cohen have disclosed what he was doing? And I think the ethics questions that have been raised will continue to persist in this kind of environment.
Yeah, and we should say here, just to get it on the record, that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the president's press secretary, said today, look, this is evidence that, you know, the president is draining the swamp. That's literally what she said, because AT&T's merger is being challenged by the Justice Department. So just getting that one on the record. Don, I want to stay with you and talk trade for a second. We're going to talk about NAFTA a little bit later in the program, but we're getting down to the wire here with this big trade deal that the president has said either we're out of or we're going to renegotiate. There was an interesting piece by Pat Toomey, the senator from Pennsylvania today in the Wall Street Journal, in which he said, and this is the headline, don't try to blackmail us on NAFTA, Mr. President. I will vote no on a bad new deal and employ all legislative means to block a unilateral withdrawal. Interesting that the Republican Senate, at least in some ways, is trying to talk some trade sense into the president.
Well, I think that letter reflects some of the apprehension among the GOP lawmakers. Robert Lighthizer, the president's chief trade negotiator, has indicated, among other things, that he wants to either eliminate or water down investors' arbitration rights. And this is something that the GOP wants to keep. And what the thinking is that the president, if the administration can get a deal, will present this new NAFTA and with a threat that he would withdraw. And so it would give basically an ultimatum, either you accept this new negotiated NAFTA or you take no NAFTA. And so this is a gun to the head, which Republicans and others just do not want to operate under.
Yeah. Catherine, I want to end with you and the labor market and a report that came out this week called JOLTS, job openings, and you're going to tell me what the rest of it is. I forgot.
Labor turnover.
Labor turnover. Thank you very much.
It's my favorite report.
I know it is, which is why you wrote a whole thing on it. And the really interesting thing is there is now a job opening for every unemployed person. Let me rephrase that. There is one job opening for one unemployed person in this economy. That is to say the numbers match.
Yes, this is the first time on record that that has been the case. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean that the job opening maps onto a particular worker, right? I mean, there might be different skills, different geographic distributions of workers. Workers may not want to take the jobs that are being that are actually available, particularly at the wages that are being offered, et cetera. But this is nonetheless a good thing, right? It does suggest that the job market is tightening. That in theory, wages should be going up, although wages we thought were going to go up several years ago.
Caveat, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, practice is not exactly according with the theory right now, but it does suggest that things are looking up for workers and that we could finally see a turnaround in wages.
Fingers crossed. Catherine Rempel at the Washington Post, Don Lee at the Los Angeles Times. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.
Enjoy your weekend. On Wall Street today, not a whole lot going on, but quite the handy week. Thank you very much. At the corner of Wall Street and Broad, we'll have the details when we do the numbers.